First, as you fire up the grill for a Labor Day cookout, don't just break out the burgers and brats. Instead, how about a nice tuna steak or some shrimp?
If the idea of fish on the grill sounds a little intimidating, don't worry. There are some simple steps you can take to grill fish like a pro.
J.P. Toski is the executive chef at St. Paul Fish Company at the Milwaukee Public Market. J.P., thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you, guys. Hi, Rob. Hi, Veronica. How are you guys doing today?
Really good. And now I grill on a charcoal grill, and I will admit, J.P., I'm a little nervous about buying fish to grill. I'm afraid I'm going to spend that money and then come home and ruin that fish. Why do people like me feel so nervous about seafood?
Well, I think it's a little out of the comfort zone, especially coming from the Midwest. You know, we didn't grow up on it. More of the Friday fish fry kind of vibe, if you know what I mean. But that shouldn't deter people from going outside and giving her a shot. I think one of the biggest things in grilling fish you got to get over is the fear.
The fear factor.
Exactly.
Well, what I envision when I think about doing this, and I actually have been thinking about grilling fish for about 3 weeks now and haven't mustered up the courage, is I envision, you know, $28 gone on fish or something for the family, and then I envision it like flaking down the grill into little charred embers that are inedible. And it seems like this is something that should be best left to the pros, but can us regular guys do it?
No, absolutely. And I think the first step in that would be not setting yourself up for failure, right? So we're going to try and pick the right fish with the right technique that's going to make it so you don't have $28 falling through the grates.
So before we get into particular kinds of fish and other seafood, too, can you give us some 101, some basics that apply to most kinds of seafood grilling?
Well, I think, you know, going from the grill, the number one for all grilling, no matter whether you're grilling pork chops, steaks, or chicken, or seafood, is prep the grates, right? You gotta get them hot, you got to get them clean, and then you got to get them oiled. So, like, what I like to do at home with my Weber is I'll get it up to about 450, 500 degrees constant for a good, like, 5-7 minutes. And then I'll take a nice wire brush and really give it a good work over. And then let it get hot again and do it again. And then give it a nice coating of oil, maybe even two or three if it needs it.
Okay, so you get the grill ready. And you also need to put oil on the fish or maybe like a spray?
Yeah, you could use a pastry brush or a spray, or, you know, at home a lot of times I just use plastic gloves or nylon gloves and a little finger work, you know.
Now, for a lot of marinating of anything, really, I use olive oil. Is that a good choice for my seafood grilling?
I like to stray away from the olive oils. One of my do's on my list for today is use the right oil. So olive oil has a lower burning temperature than a lot of other oils, and since the grill's so hot, it can impart bitter flavors, and it can break down as an oil and not actually let the fish release from the grill. So I like to stick more towards a canola or a vegetable oil. You could certainly finish with some nice extra virgin olive oil as you're finishing the grill process just to give it that flavor, but as your actual grilling oil, I would stick to a higher temp oil, such as canola or vegetable.
Okay, and speaking of temperatures, what kind of temperature should we be cooking our fish at? I'm imagining, you know, fish cooks really fast, it seems like, but I don't know where the sweet spot is.
The golden rule for fish is 8 minutes per 1 inch thick. So, and I like to think of that golden rule occurring around 450 degrees or so grilling temperature, maybe even towards 500. But hotter is usually better. So I usually set my grill for about a medium-high temperature.
We're grilling seafood with J.P. Toski on Food Friday. He's executive chef at the St. Paul Fish Company at the Milwaukee Public Market. Well, let's start with a basic one, J.P. For a first-time fish griller, what's a good fish to grill and a technique to grill it with?
So I like to think of the fish sort of in three categories, just to break it down, because there's so many different kinds, there's so many different flavor profiles and textures, but to just sort of generalize it, I like to think of it in three categories. So we have a light flaky fish, so that's like a sole or a cod or a skate wing, maybe a turbot, and those are really tricky to grill, so we're going to stay away from those, especially just for putting on the grates of the grill. You could certainly go back and play around with foil packets or something like that with those, but then we step into our more medium-bodied fish. So those would be like mahi-mahi, catfish, grouper, salmon. And now we're starting to talk about something that's a little bit more approachable for a novice to put right on the grates and not worry about flaking and falling through. And then to go a step beyond that, we could go into the heavier steaky fishes, which are going to be a lot easier to grill, such as swordfish, marlin, shark, or tuna.
What do you prefer for that very first one? Should we go for one of those heavier fishes?
Yeah, I would suggest maybe like a piece of swordfish or marlin, tuna. It's a good one. Salmon would be a good one to start with. Those sort of, like I said, like steakier fishes that are going to really stay together for you. They're not going to flake apart. They can, you know, they can take a little bit more with the spatula going underneath them, and they're not going to flake.
And one tip I keep coming across that's probably not what I would do, don't mess with it so much. I think I would be tempted to, like, constantly be flipping it and moving it around, and that, I guess, is bad, right?
Absolutely. Well, the more you touch it, the more it's going to flake, right? The more you touch it, the more it has a tendency to fall apart. So you just got to sort of watch it. You can certainly, like, use a little tip of your spatula to look under, peer under just a little bit to see what kind of color you're getting on the bottom, but people like to just keep working it and working it and working it, and that's gonna make it a little trickier on you.
So I keep hearing about how good salmon is for you, and there are exactly two ways that I like salmon: cedar planked and smoked. And I actually bought a cedar plank, but it's been sitting still. It's still in its plastic, actually, in the cupboard. I'd love to use it. Can you explain to me how one actually does that, uses the cedar plank?
It's super, super easy. So all you do is soak it prior for about an hour or two in cold water or lukewarm water. You're going to pull it out and then give it a little wipe off to get the excess moisture off. Then take your salmon, whether skin on or skin off, doesn't matter. Give it a nice seasoning of salt and pepper, or maybe some smoked paprika or whatever floats your boat. You know, this time of year people have some nice fresh herbs coming out of the garden, so you could certainly incorporate some of those. And then you're going to put it over indirect heat on your grill, so you'd have one side of your grill at a higher temperature than the other, and you put it on the lower side of the grill, and then lower the top of the grill and let her start smoking away.
And does that kind of steam it a little, the moisture coming up out of the plank?
Well, the moisture is to protect the plank from burning, not so much for the steam aspect, but it will introduce a little bit of water vapor into the atmosphere, which will keep your fish a little less dry.
So you don't have to flip it when it's on the plank then?
Nope. You can just go all the way like that.
That does sound easier.
So that's a really good one for you. Like you said, you had been waiting to grill fish for a couple weeks, and you fret the moment of the $28. So.
Exactly.
But that's a pretty foolproof one for you.
And let's talk a little more about seasoning for fish. Are there seasonings that work well across the fish world, or is it kind of, you know, salmon might want one thing, catfish another?
Certainly you could look at it that way. Everybody's different. And, like, at St. Paul Fish, one of the ways I look at it is we try really hard. We work really, really hard to get the finest product we can from all sides of the nation. And we don't want to cover it up with too many aggressive flavors. And that's our approach here, is sort of simplicity. But that being said, at home, you know, you are going on the barbecue, so you can get a little bit more bold in flavors. Because if there's one thing that the barbecue does accentuate with fish, it's the acceptance of stronger flavor profiles and seasonings. Where if, like, you're sautéing or baking with fish, you might want to lay off some of, like, the more aggressive seasonings because they won't stand up to the technique.
So one thing when you go out for fish in a restaurant and it's done really well, probably like at your restaurant, I like it when it gets a nice crust on top. It's almost a little bit crunchy, and then inside it's, you know, it's flaky or whatever. How do you get that kind of crust on the top but still keep it not dry in the middle?
Well, like I said earlier, the first step of that is prepping the grates properly, because you're going to get a good sear and it's going to release. So you're not going to leave that crust on the grates when you try to flip it. And then the other part of it is just temping it right on the finish. So, like I said, 8 minutes per 1-inch thick of fish is a really good golden rule to go through. Also, starting at a higher temperature with that nice medium-high temperature is gonna make it so you get a nice crust on the outside.
J.P. Toski is with us. He's executive chef with the St. Paul Fish Company at the Milwaukee Public Market, and he's with us now to share advice about how to grill seafood.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about grilling seafood of any sort? And grillers, what's your favorite type of seafood to put on the grill? What types of fish or shellfish do you think are easiest to grill? What has been a challenge for you? Maybe you have some advice of your own. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll pick up our conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And right now we're picking up our Food Friday conversation about how to grill seafood this weekend with J.P. Toski, executive chef at St. Paul Fish Company at the Milwaukee Public Market.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions for our guest about something maybe you want to make this weekend? Do you have a favorite fish or other seafood that you'd like to put on the grill? What advice do you have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And let's take a caller now. We've got Joe joining us first in Butler. Joe, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to ask?
I've got some true Lake Superior whitefish somebody's bringing to me. And
nice.
They've done it in the past, baked with like a pesto. And they said, well, you know, try putting it on the grill. I said, I don't want to ruin your whitefish. I'm not going to put it on the grill. Any advice?
Okay, whitefish. I think of that as being flaky. Yeah.
That's something you could certainly do on a cedar plank. I think would be a really good technique for that. I've used that in other restaurants before, using whitefish on a cedar plank. Also, you could try doing it with a foil packet, with not actually encompassing the fish in a foil packet, but just take foil, maybe fold it 3 or 4 pieces over itself, and then put it down on the grill and lay your whitefish down upon that so you know that the whitefish won't fall through, because whitefish is super delicate and you wouldn't want to put that directly on the grates.
All right.
And so turn it, don't turn it. If they want to do the pesto again, when would you put that on?
What I would do is put it on when it's raw. So prep your whitefish, get it all clean and everything, pat it dry, and then put a nice smear of the pesto on it right away, and then put that on top of either your cedar plank or your piece of aluminum foil, and then put that directly on top of the grates.
Joe, good luck. I hope it comes out awesome. We'll go next to Rita in Weyerhaeuser. Rita, hi.
Hi there. I have a question regarding fish baskets. I've heard of people using that technique. So my question is, what kind of fish would you use a fish basket for, and how would you use those? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, I think with a fish basket, I think the idea there is that you're just eliminating the grates. So you're just taking away the grates and putting something a little bit more sturdy under the fish so you don't have to worry about it flaking apart and falling through. That being said, I think you could pretty much use any kind of fish for that technique. It's just a little bit more forgiving, let's say, as opposed to going directly onto the grill grates.
So that's one of those.
Certainly be a great tool to use.
Is that one of those that closes on both sides? You can just kind of flip the whole thing?
And, I've seen them multiple different ways. I know, like, some of the newer charcoal grills and some of the new charbroilers have they have a section of the grates you can actually take out and replace with the grill basket. Mm. So. And then others are secondhand to the grill, so you just put them on top of the grates.
Gotcha. Well, let's go to another phone call. Doug is with us now in Three Lakes. Doug, hi.
Good afternoon. Listen to your program frequently.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks. What can we help you with for fish?
I like salmon. My wife and I have salmon probably once or twice a week. And Copper River salmon is really exceptional.
Well, that's the thing to get right now.
Yes, right, right.
It's the season.
A little more expensive, but it's worth the effort in a lot of respects. What I do is I put a little olive oil on it and leave it set that once it's thawed or if it's fresh, and bring my grill to 500 degrees, lay it on the grill with the skin side up, and I cook it like that for about 90 seconds. And I flip it over because the skin will hold everything firmly together, and just leave it cooked the remainder of the way, and less is more when it comes to time on the grill.
Hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
If it's not done and you take it off, you can always finish it up a little bit, warm it a little more in the microwave. And it should be flaky. It should be less than completely cooked through before you ever take it off, because it is going to...
The residual cooking will definitely keep it going. And I think you're totally on the mark there with with salmon especially being something that's okay to serve more like a medium well as opposed to a completely well done. Personally, I like to eat salmon more towards the medium rare side, as long as I know where it was caught and I know it's quality salmon. But that being said, with the skin on, one of the things, there's sort of two schools of thoughts with this. So, like you're saying, you sear it on the flesh side really fast and then flip it over to the skin side because you know then you sort of have this protective barrier on the grill and it sort of safeguards you from any kind of mistakes. The other school of thought is that in that skin, there's all these really awesome omega-3 fatty acids and this really nice salmon fat that's going to sort of melt away and marinate the fish. So you'd almost want the fish to be upside down, so gravity self-based the fish as it cooks. So the skin would be on top for the majority of the cooking, and all those salmon fats and all those really nice flavors are going to trickle down over the fish into the grill as it goes, and it'll help self-baste it.
Doug, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to J.P. Toski about grilling fish and other seafood. J.P.'s with the St. Paul Fish Company at the Milwaukee Public Market. And J.P., let's get to the non-fish world here. I understand you love grilling something that I wouldn't have even thought of, oysters.
Oh, absolutely.
Talk about that.
So this is a little bit more towards the expertise area, I guess, of seafood grilling, just because there's a little bit more steps involved. You have to know how to shuck oysters, so that's step one. But one of my favorite things to do is so you take an oyster on the half shell that you've just shucked, hopefully a bunch of them, right? And then make a compound butter. So we'll take whipped butter, whatever kind of herbs you have laying around, maybe some smoked paprika, some chili flakes, some parsley, and lemon zest, and whip it all together, and then freeze it. And then as the oysters cook on the grill, you just shave a little bit of that off into the cup of each oyster until it bubbles up, and then pull them off. That's a fan favorite at my house.
Oh, that sounds really good. I never would have thought of that. I've had fried oysters, but I haven't had grilled oysters.
It's a nice way for people to get into oysters if they're a little tentative about eating raw ones. We always like to do a party at my house every year where we get a couple cases of oysters, and we'll do a few of them on the grill, and then we'll shuck some of them raw. But it's always sort of funny to watch the people that don't eat a lot of oysters gravitate towards the grilled ones, and then sort of get the flavor profile going, and then look at everybody else eating the raw ones and say, "All right, I'm gonna step up. I'm gonna do this now." And they almost always enjoy it.
And let's get into a treat you hear a lot about a shrimp, the shrimp on the Barbie. We won't share our Australian accent renditions from earlier in the day, but what's the key to making shrimp on the grill, JP?
Well, I think the biggest thing with grilling shrimp is skewer them, right? Think about like how many shrimp you're going to have per person if you're cooking for 5 to 6 people, and then how thin your grill grates are and how big your shrimp are. No, not only is it a lot of work to keep track of all of them and make sure none of them are burning and keep flipping, but also they might fall through. So I always like to skewer my shrimp on a nice big skewer, like a kebab, for instance, and then lay them down on the grill like that. I prefer to grill my shrimp with the shell on personally, but for a lot of people that's a little much to have to pick the shell off, but I really like the flavor that comes from the shell when you cook it inside of it. But that's sort of to each their own kind of thing.
What about seasoning for shrimp? What do you recommend there?
I like Old Bay a lot, in all honesty. That's one of my favorites for just a really simple flavor profile on shrimp and on lobster tails. Just simple Old Bay with a squeeze of lemon.
I want to get into some side dishes here before we let you go. What do you like to serve with grilled fish and other seafood?
You know, for me, it's really seasonal. I like to take what's in season and sort of work with it. So if we're grilling in the spring, like light arugula and asparagus salads come to mind. If we're going into the heart of summer, then grilled corn or a nice corn salad would be really nice with it. This time of year, we look towards more like autumnal flavors, like squash, pumpkin, things like that.
So you're at the St. Paul Fish Company and the Milwaukee Public Market. How did you get into that and have fish as your specialty?
Well, I started a long time ago as a wee man. I cooked at Heaven City Restaurant in Maquanago for about 7-8 years under my mentor, Chef Scott McGlinchey. And then I went down to Chicago with McCormick and Schmick Seafood Restaurant, where I honed in more on the fish skills, and then came up here back to Milwaukee.
On the Great Lakes, so that's pretty nice. Do you cook a lot of Great Lakes fish?
You know, I like a lot of it. We don't serve any of it here, really, except for a little bit of the whitefish. But the owner of St. Paul Fish does have a boat, and he goes out fishing quite a bit and seems to land a few fish here and there. So we've had our fair share of cohos and kings and lake trouts and fun stuff to work with.
Cool.
And JP, before we let you go, what would you recommend grilling up in the fish world for, say, a Packer game?
Ooh, I would say go shrimp.
Something
about shrimp is a nice finger food for the game. It's sort of tailgatey food, and it's not so much food that you have to plate on a certain, like, for everybody individually. It's more of a group kind of thing.
So with the,
I would go shrimp.
With, if you're grilling shrimp on the Barbie, just to use the phrase, it's going to take a little tending, right? That's the thing about grilling, is you have to stand there. Is there anything that we can do that's a little less fuss for eating seafood, you know, when we don't have time to stand outside and enjoy being in the sun?
Well, you could certainly substitute a lot of these preparations in the oven. Other than that, I think, you know, we're from Wisconsin. We can shovel out whenever we want to and get to our Weber's.
It's true. People do grill in the winter and the slush here in Wisconsin.
Well, JP, thanks a lot for taking the time on what I imagine is a busy Friday afternoon for you.
Oh, we're cranking.
That's JP Toski, executive chef at St. Paul Fish Company at the Milwaukee Public Market. He joined us to offer tips for grilling seafood. You're feeling inspired?
I do have this cedar plank, which has been sitting there dying to be used. So, yeah, I think
you didn't buy the
this
salmon
might be
at the
moment.
Same time.
I didn't buy the salmon because that would not be ideal for fresh fish. But, yeah, I might give it a try.
And I am tempted too. The curse is that people in my family tend to like all different kinds of fish. So it's hard to pick just one kind of fish that's going to make everyone happy, but a little bit of two kinds.
Shrimp smorgasbord at Rob's house.
Not shrimp, I guess, but I guess fish. Yeah.
Fish and seafood.
Like, well, I have at least one non-crustacean eater in the household who won't even touch it. So,
oysters,
yeah.
Though? Would you try the oysters?
I'll try some more basic fish and then maybe move up from there.
Sounds good.